9:37, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Time now for the basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayat. As last week we mentioned that many of our hujjaj are preparing to go for the epic journey of their life, and inshallah they'll be making their way in the coming days, and we thought it's appropriate that we speak on the spiritual side of things and we prepare ourselves. And like Mufti Sahab said, there are different categories of listeners: those who have been for Hajj and are listening to us, those who are going inshallah this year for Hajj, and those who yearn to go. Those are the different categories of listeners, but all can benefit from the discussion. So in that sense, we are continuing with the same one. And last week we ended off with the dua that Mufti Sahab shared, and we welcome Mufti Sahab now on the program. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana Habib, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
What's the weather like in Durban, Mufti Sahab?
Freezing, Maulana, freezing, freezing. You know, if a Durban people say it's cold, then even it's normally it's even mild cold, but this time it's quite cold. And most important of all, alhamdulillah, beautiful, beautiful, soaking rains. Much needed rains. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very beneficial rains. We make the dua, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Allah make it very beneficial rains and much needed rains. These are, alhamdulillah, soaking rains. I hope it's across the entire country, hopefully, if not at least KZN province, where there is a very big drought situation. So we just hope, inshallah, that this will be very beneficial rain.
Also, very quickly, Mufti Sahab.
On your side, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah, lovely weather. It's a bit windy, but the sun is coming out, mashallah.
It sounds like you've got quite a cold, Maulana.
Gee, recovering, it's now taking at least 4 weeks now, Mufti Sahab.
Ya Allah.
Antibiotics,
the
everything finished.
The strain of the flu is quite serious this time.
Yeah, and
it's a long recovery period.
Yeah, antibiotics, everything finished, but no help. Anyways, Mufti Sahab, just to catch up on what happened on the weekend, I also believe you were part of the Nkandla event and you were there. Perhaps you want to just share some of your thoughts before we go into our actual program.
Okay, Jim, yes, I did attend the event for quite a major part of it. I wasn't right through to the end. But yes, I did attend, and there's been a lot of, mashallah, good reports that we're hearing. What we observed was that there was a lot of eagerness that was witnessed. The people were listening very attentively to the speakers. you know, obviously, Maulana Abbas and Kizia, his brother Maulana Musa, they were the people driving the program and on the podium and on the stage. And then, of course, Maulana Ibrahim Baam and Sheikh Irfan from MJC and Sheikh Hassan Talib and the ambassadors from Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Kuwait. These people, I think most of them gave some short speeches as well. So the crowd that was present was very attentive, listening to the messages that were being conveyed. You know, various ayats of the Holy Quran and ahadith were quoted to them. And of course, then the king himself spoke, and he also highlighted a number of important things. Like, I wasn't there for his speech as such, but this is what people who were present also mentioned, that he spoke about the fact that Muslims had invited him to the masjid. And he was a guest at the masjid in Grey Street in Durban. And he spoke about Islam to the Muslim community there. And he was speaking about the problem of AIDS and the problem of the drought, and attributed that to the fact that people are sinning a lot and praying very less. And overall, I think it was a very positive message that came from the king himself.
Is there the need for such events and such initiatives?
I think, well, this has been discussed at great length, you know, on the airwaves. But again, it's an opportunity to present the Deen of Allah to thousands of people who are present there, thousands and thousands who attended, who for the first time probably they heard the Quran being recited.
Subhanallah.
You know, probably for the first time they heard some message from the Quran, what Allah Rabbul Izzat is saying, the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the praises of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some young children were there, they also rendered some anashid in which there was zikr of kalima tayyiba and the zikr of the third kalima. And people were quite taken aback. You know, you could see the expressions, they were quite taken aback listening to these things that probably they never heard in their life before.
Mm-hmm. Mustasab, let's pick up on our discussion. Last week we ended off with the dua, and this week we are going into more specific discussions, the journey before reaching the Holy Lands, and also some preparation at home, Mustasab.
Okay, yes, indeed, Maulana. We did speak about, you know, the dua that a person who is departing for Hajj must be given a dua. And this was the dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given the departing Hajj. Sorry, I had heard last week, Maulana. I heard last week the dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to the departing Haji was this dua here. Zawadaka Allahu taqwa wa wajjahaka ila al-khayr wa kafaka al-ham.
Acha, ji.
Oh, kama qal. I think that the other dua that I mentioned last week was actually for the returning Haji.
Hmm.
So I think I just want to correct this on air, that what we mentioned last week, I'd heard there, actually what I mentioned there was the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave dua to the Haji who was departing, but that dua was actually for the returning Haji. But the returning Haji, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the dua that قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكُ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكُ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكُ. But for the Haji who is departing for Hajj, then زَوَّدَكَ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى وَوَجَّهَكَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَكَفَاكَ الْهَمْ. The meaning of this particular dua is also very beautiful. So if you can just explain it very briefly, that زَوَّدَكَ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the provision of taqwa. Allah ta'ala give you taqwa throughout this journey of Hajj so that you carry it with you as a provision. It's a beautiful dua because indeed the Haji requires a lot of taqwa. We may say that he's going to such a holy place, so there is taqwa there already, no doubt. But throughout the journey, the taqwa is required. And even in those holy places, one has to stay with taqwa. Because we know that now in the haram and outside on the streets and in the hotels and in the shopping places and all over, there's men, there's women. A person has to exercise taqwa. We have to keep our gazes low whilst we're doing tawaf in the haram, on the streets, in the marketplaces, in the hotels, etc., in the vehicles. So that taqwa is required. Not to speak the wrong things, not to see the wrong things, not to hear the wrong things, not to say the wrong things, not to think the wrong thing. That's all part and parcel of taqwa. So that taqwa is very much required by the Haji, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, is really speaking, Marana, this dua of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a reflection of one ayat of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the same advice to the Haji, Al-Hajju ashhuru ma'lumat, faman farada fihinna al-hajja, fala rafasa, wala fusuka, wala jidala fil hajj, فما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take your provision, but remember the best of your provision for Hajj is the provision of taqwa. So taqwa is such an important provision to take. In other words, provisions are something that you take, you need, and you carry it with you, and you look after it, because you need it all the time. So taqwa has been called a provision. Beautiful expression that it's been called a provision. In other words, you're dependent on it all the time, you look after it all the time, and you use it all the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to taqwa as a provision, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that in this dua, zawadaka Allahu taqwa. وَوَجَّهَكَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct you towards all good deeds. May Allah ta'ala direct you towards good in whatever form it may be. So wherever a person goes, he's only directed towards good and goodness, making salam to people, feeding the people, making ibadat, going to the right places, doing all the right things. This is being directed towards good. Automatically, when a person is being directed towards good, then he will be away from evil and bad. So he will be directed towards good. وَوَجْهَكَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَكَفَاكَ الْهَمْ, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of your worries. May Allah ta'ala take care of your worries. Now that's the third dua, and this is also so appropriate for a haji, because indeed the haji is filled with different kinds of worries.
Mm.
You know, your first worry before you leave is, how is it going to be? How is the journey going to be? How will I manage? And so on. So that's the first worry. Then the worry of your family when you're gone. Or what will happen to my children? How will they be? Or how's things going to be at home? How's my family going to be? So that's another worry. And then there is the worry of once when we are there, that how will I manage? Will I cope with the rites of Hajj? How is it going to be? Will I manage? Will I do it the right way? Will I do it properly? And so on. So that's also a worry the Haji has. Then when we come closer to the 5 days of Hajj, then you can see that everybody is worried now. We have to manage this 5 days of Hajj. What do we do? How do we go about it? What are we required to do? And so forth. So in that way, there is also those worries and concerns. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the haji this dua, وَكَفَاكَ الْهَمْ, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of all your worries. So now, this was the jawami'ul kalim, the comprehensiveness and conciseness of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his brevity in speech, that in one short dua encompassed so many things. Every single thing the haji needs is encompassed in this beautiful dua of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should also make an attempt to give these duas to the haji. And inshallah, whatever good the haji will do, we'll have a share in it, because we had contributed in the form of our dua to the haji.
Hmm.
Now, whilst we're discussing this whole subject of dua for the haji, the haji, from the time he made his intention for Hajj, in fact, his du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the journey, his du'as are accepted. And in those holy places, his du'as are accepted. At the first sighting of the Baytullah, his du'as are accepted. When he's making tawaf, his du'as are accepted. In fact, when he puts on ihram, his du'as are accepted. And throughout the journey, right through till he enters the haram, all his du'as are accepted. When he makes tawaf, his du'as are accepted. After tawaf, his du'as are accepted. At sa'i, at safa, his du'as are accepted. At marwa, his du'as are accepted. In between, his du'as are accepted. Throughout his stay at Baytullah, his du'as are accepted. In Mina, Arafat, and Muzdalifah, his du'as are accepted. Especially the du'a of Arafat, Allahu Akbar. That is one of the best du'as a person can make. Khair du'a Al-Arafah, the best of du'as is at Arafah. And then, of course, when he's departing from Makkah again, his du'as are accepted. When he's journeying towards Madinah Sharif, his du'as are accepted. When he enters Madinah, his du'as are accepted. When he goes into Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, his du'as are accepted. At Riyadh al-Jannah, his du'as are accepted. At Rauza Mubarak, Allahu Akbar, what a place for the acceptance of du'as. With the mercy and blessings and barakat cascading upon the Rauza Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There the du'as are accepted. So at all the significant places in Medina, Baqi Sharif du'as are accepted. All over Masjid Nabawi Sharif du'as are accepted. At Masjid Quba du'as are accepted. At Uhud du'as are accepted. at all the other places, Barakat, places of blessing, and the sites of Ziyarat, du'as are accepted. So, subhanAllah, right through on the return journey also, the du'as of the Hadi are accepted. When he comes home, the du'as are accepted of the Hadi. For a number of days, his du'as are accepted. So, indeed, this should be a journey of du'a. From before to after, at every phase and every step of the journey, it should be just about du'a, du'a, and du'a. Du'a mukhul ibadah, that is the very essence of ibadah, to make du'a. So we exhort our brothers and sisters who are going for hajj, that make this the journey of du'a, where it is the journey of ibadat, and it is the journey of zikr, and it is the journey of love, and it is the journey of sacrifice. It is also a journey of du'a. Every stage, the Hadi should be making du'a. In the plane, that the Hadi should be making a lot of du'a. Our pious elders used to say that away from the ground where so much of sin and transgression is taking place, in the sky, the du'as are accepted more readily because of the lesser amount of sinning. Unfortunately, we do find that now with the introduction of the in-flight entertainment systems and so on, the possibility of sinning is now grown. But nevertheless, it is still much more limited in comparison to what happens on the ground, on the earth. So all of these opportunities have to be seized, especially when the Hadi is going to enter the Haram, and the first view of the Baytullah he's going to have, that is a very, very, very special moment, and it is a moment of acceptance of du'a. Whatever du'as are going to be made on that occasion will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said about the great Imam, Imam-e-Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that when Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayh, when he made the first view, in his first viewing of the Baytullah, then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi made a very special dua, a beautiful, comprehensive dua. He made dua to become mustajabu da'wat, that is one whose duas are always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
In other words, oh Allah, after this day, whatever dua I make, accept every one of my duas. So subhanallah. Beautiful dua Imam Abu Hanifa made, so comprehensive that it covers all the duas for the rest of the life of a person. If once your dua got accepted, then you became mustajabu da'wat, then the rest of your life it's just about acceptance and acceptance and acceptance of all your duas. So the Hadis are fortunate, they have this opportunity, and I will urge our brothers and sisters who are proceeding for Hajj this year, that endeavor to make this journey of Hajj a journey of du'as. Even if you don't raise your hand, you can make du'a in your heart. In fact, the pious elders have mentioned that sometimes we should make du'a a silent du'a. Such a silent du'a that don't even move your tongue. But just make the du'a in your heart. Make the du'a in your heart, and that way you will build and develop your heart. It is like a kind of meditative dua, a dua of meditation, or meditating on the duas that a person should be making. So in other words, you're not even using your tongue. Your heart is engaged in the act of dua. This is dua of the heart. Dua of the heart is a very, very accepted dua. It's a very powerful and strong dua because it's coming with full concentration. Often we find that when we make dua verbally, we get distracted by lots of things, and then it's just sometimes a routine, mechanical dua that we are making. But when the dua comes from the heart, then that is a very sincere and a very concentrated dua. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua that is done with concentration, and he does not take accept the dua that is made from out of negligence, in a negligent attitude. Ibn Allah Ta'ala la yaqbalu dua an lahin. A person who is negligent and he's not really concentrating, then his du'as are not accepted, because now he's just muttering some words. He's not focusing on what he's asking for. So in fact, we would say the haji should also do this meditative du'a, where from the heart you're making du'a. And of course, as always, we've been told repeatedly that du'a should be a very comprehensive act, covering oneself in every angle, from the worldly point of view and the worldly needs and necessities, and the dini and spiritual point of view, and the necessities of this world and the necessities of the hereafter, and the good of this world and the good of the hereafter, and protection in this world and protection in the hereafter, and also for one's family, near and dear ones, for one's relatives, for one's neighbors, for one's friends and associates. And then of course, it goes without saying that the entire ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be encompassed in the dua, so that it is a very, very jami and comprehensive dua. So the opportunity is knocking for the hujjaj. Allah Ta'ala is calling them, as is mentioned in one hadith sharif. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Al-Hajju wal-Ummaru wafdullah da'ahum fa'ajabuh wa-sa'aluhu fa'atahum. The Hajjis and the people going for Umrah, they are the royal delegations. These are the delegations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones that are going to represent the Muslim Ummah. And as representatives of the Muslim Ummah, it is expected of them that they will make dua on behalf of the Ummah. They will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them. وَسَأَلُوهُ فَأَعْطَاهُمْ. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala gives them. And Allah Ta'ala accepts their du'as and fulfills whatever they're asking for.
Ameen.
So this is that opportunity that the hujjaj have. They must consider themselves delegation on behalf of the whole ummah. And the duty of a delegation is to put across the case of the ummah in the most beautiful and the most impressive manner. And that is through du'a. They will put across the case of the whole ummah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the headquarters of Islam, at the Baytullah, at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will accept those du'as. It will benefit the whole ummah. And as I mentioned, the ummah in turn will be making du'as for the hajis. Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful du'a for the hajis. Wallah, forgive the haji, and whomsoever the haji seeks behalf or forgiveness on behalf of whom, forgive that person also. So I think this discussion of today spoke about the importance of dua in the life of a haji, Maulana. And perhaps we could, I think we're almost on time for news.
MashaAllah. Perfect timing, Mufti Sahab. We inshallah pick up on this in the coming programs.
InshaAllah, Maulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته